Janet, I'm really sorry, but I also got some interpretation to this hand. I'm not doing it on purpose. I don't think your interpretation is wrong. Would you permit me just to give you my interpretation? As we were worshiping, I saw the hand there. I just didn't know it was Janet who was painting it, but I definitely saw the hand of God, and I felt it was for, obviously, the hand of God's on all of our lives, but for some people here tonight specifically, I felt he wanted you to know that. There's a row of young gentlemen there, definitely for you guys. You need to know that the hand of God is on your life, and that speaks a number of things into your life. Steve's already shared some of those things, but it speaks of safety, it speaks of steadiness, and I felt the steady hand of God for you guys. He wanted to steady and bring a stability to your lives. The blood in the middle, Janet, this is my interpretation anyway, for me, obviously it speaks of the cross and it speaks of his victory. And I felt he wanted to remind us tonight that his victory is our victory. And that we're not to forget about that. We walk in the finished works of Jesus. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father after having accomplished everything he had to accomplish. And we now, the only thing left for us to do is to grow in knowledge of that, of his goodness, is to understand and walk in greater revelation. So our knowledge unfolds. It's not that God has been withholding and suddenly now he's releasing power into the earth. It's that we are waking up to the reality of what he's finished and accomplished already for us. I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. And so that's a wonderful promise. Anything else around that? Thank you for having us. It's so great just to be with brothers and sisters. We really do feel like family. It has been an amazing journey from 2009. Just while Steve was stumbling around there, it was actually 2009. And I was always a nice guy, Steve. Although I was legalistic, I was very confused. So it's been an amazing journey the last 4 years, I think similar to yours here. So let me give you, I've got something I want to share with you, but let me just kick off a little bit prophetically, if that's okay. Do I have to preach from up there? Shall I bring it down? Can I bring it down? Because you seem very far away. I'm not used to that. Salt Rock's a small place. We've got a 5-meter-long country club. And I'm used to being close to the people. So, fantastic. Thanks, guys. So, please excuse my notes. I have been trying to use my iPad. But you know what? You just can't beat handwriting. Eh? I scribble notes and I add little bits. But you can't do it on the iPad. There's no app I've found yet. Anyway, that's boring.
You do that and then you take a picture of it.
Yeah, true. No, that's just weird. Anyway, I've got... I'm comfortable in my own skin. And I'm comfortable writing. So, you know what? God loves you guys so much, eh? Wow. I believe he's got some good stuff for you tonight. Highway Christian Church. As I prayed for you guys, I saw a lighthouse. Stephen, Janet, it's important you listen to this, eh? You know what, there's an amazing atmosphere of freedom and liberty, and it's because of Steve, I think, Steve and Janet. It's really wonderful being here. There's a liberty, there's a diversity of gifts. Everything I wanted to say, Steve said already. I wanted to encourage the worship team and just say, well done, you guys. You're fantastic, man. You know, worship teams are often underrated. The guys just serve and serve. The guys at the back there. And what's your name? Is it Dave? Are you the wish? You were leading tonight? Robbie and Dave. No, well done, guys. Keep going. Eh? I had such a great time tonight. You create a platform for the people just to enter in. It's wonderful. I saw a lighthouse or a lampstand. And I saw this lighthouse. I saw the light turning around. So you're a lighthouse in this area. I got the scripture pillar and foundation of truth. That in this place... remember, the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. People out there are stumbling. They don't know. There's no sort of reference point for the truth. But the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. And you guys are that pillar here. I saw a powerful community. I sensed the well done of the Lord on you. I wrote this down long before I got you tonight. There are great things in store for you. And then I got this phrase, you are children of promise. And we'll unpack that a little bit later. But it's like the promises of God were over you, and I heard a lot of yes and amens from you guys. And that's really powerful stuff. Because when we start agreeing with the truth, it starts to manifest in our lives. Amen. When we start agreeing with, when we side with the truth, it begins to manifest. The finished work of Christ begins to manifest supernaturally in our lives. So that's powerful. Let me say two things quick. Something about truth and something about declarations. And then I want to give you five life-changing beliefs. Just five little quick points. And I mean, there's lots of beliefs, but I want to give you five critical ones. So just something about truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So truth is vital. It's important that we understand and know the truth. Transformation comes by a renewed mind. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed any longer. Be not conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how does transformation come? Does it come by what you do? Or does it come by what you believe? Obviously from the scripture, I thought you guys knew the answers to these. You can shout them out if you know. But transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. If you want to change your life, you change what you believe. Right believing leads to right behavior. Not the question of the hour is not what should we be doing, it's what should we be believing. And in our church, we've been on a journey the last few months. And it's been on spiritual warfare, and it's all been addressed at the mind. It's incredible the lies that we believe. The enemy, he's the accuser of the brethren. He lies day and night. He lies all the time. You'll be surprised at what you believe and how many lies you believe. And so we've been on this amazing journey in terms of addressing the lies and exposing the lies of the enemy. And we found that as we expose his lies, the power is broken. Now, this is true. Christ has broken the devil's power. But as we expose his lies, we kind of enforce that victory. So Francois du Toit says this, for those of you who know him, he wrote the Mirror Bible. He says, what did you say, Francois? He says, we are the authority of the victory of Christ in the spiritual realm. Shall I say that again? Yes. We are the authority of the victory of Christ in the spiritual realm. That's powerful, eh? So Jesus won the victory, but we are representatives of that authority on the earth today. So that's a powerful truth. And we're seeing big changes in people's lives. I've seen people come into the glory and fall down, shake and all that, and they go off and they fall into sin and they do horrible things, and you're thinking, how does this continue happening? The answer is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're changed as you line up with the truth. As you believe the truth in every area of your life, so the victory in that area becomes yours. Amen. So, Jesus was victorious in every area of his life because he knew the truth in every area of his life. You may be victorious in some areas, but a bit lacking in others. I want to encourage you to expose the enemy's lies. We'll give you some strategies tonight and just a few points. But I want to encourage you guys to direct your spiritual warfare, not out there. Stop blaming the guy who did you in and stop blaming the fact that you didn't have great parents and stop blaming everybody out there. There's no more curse over your life. You have a new DNA. You have a new inheritance. You have a spiritual father without fault. All those things are bad and they can make life difficult, but there's no excuse for you to be bound in that place because of your past. Amen. You have a new inheritance and you have a new DNA and you're a new creation, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So the truth is vital. The other thing I was going to say is declarations. Now, declarations are very powerful, what you speak out of your mouth. Remember, God created everything through the declarations he made. But declarations are a strategy for renewing your mind. So as you speak the truth out, it stimulates your faith. Your It increases the level of your expectancy in the goodness of God as you speak out the truth in those areas and you make powerful declarations. And so at Real Life Church, we've begun teaching the people how to do that over their lives. And I haven't heard huge testimonies, but there's a lot of stuff going on. People's lives are starting to change and turn. They're starting to see the breakthrough and victory in their lives. So tonight, you're going to be equipped with some handles to change the situations that you feel stuck in and to walk a victorious Christian life. Amen. It's for all of us. It's not just for some. So it builds up faith, increases our expectancy, increases the manifestation of His goodness in our lives. And can I remind you again, you are children of promise. The promises of God are spoken out over you. We are children of promise. And for you guys at HCC, you are children of promise. You are a nation-changing, city-changing people, powerful generation. I was amazed at the diversity of gifts here. Beautiful people worshiping. Wonderful. Go for it. Okay, are you ready? Should we go through these five life-changing beliefs? There's lots of them, obviously, but we'll tackle a few. And if we don't get through five, well, yeah, I'll leave you some resources so you can read them. The first one is this. Can we have the scripture up? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Here's the life-changing belief. There is always a solution. There is always a solution. Let's read the scripture. No temptation has seized you except what is common to men, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, God always makes a way. The second thing I realized is that that doesn't say that God is tempting you. And I always used to think God was the one tempting me. Testing me, putting me under pressure, trial, you know, all that kind of mentality. That does not say that God is the one tempting you. It says when you are tempted. James says, in James chapter 1, he says, I'm going to have to just pull it up quickly. James 1 verse 6 and 7. No, wrong one. Sorry, I just want to find this quick. I've lost it. Anyway, I know what it says, more or less. It says that God is not the one tempting you. It says that God cannot be tempted by evil. It says each man is tempted when by his own evil desires he's dragged away and enticed. The point being, God is not the one tempting you. And we all face temptation because we're on this earth. And what is temptation, briefly? You're just a human. You can't help yourself. Isn't it? Try and do it yourself. You don't agree with that. He tempts us to walk in our own steam. He tempts us with lies about ourselves that are not true. He'll tempt us to believe lies about ourselves. You're just human. You can't help it. You're shame, man. Your daddy, you weren't breastfed as a child. And there's all these things that the enemy hits us with, and that's the temptations. And we are tempted to try and be like God. We are tempted to try and do it for ourselves. I promise, and we start making promises after the temptation. I promise to do better. I'll never do that again. As soon as you say that, you have fallen from grace. Seriously. That's what the scripture teaches us. Righteousness comes by faith. We are not able to walk out the Christian life. I don't know where to go here. I know Steve and you guys have taught a lot on this. Law and grace. We're not under the old covenant anymore. We are under grace. In the old covenant, no, I'm not going to go there. Okay, stick to the plan, Basil. So there is always a solution. God is not the one tempting you, but He provides a way out. There is always a solution. Get His perspective on the situation. Sometimes we feel hopeless when we're facing a situation and we think there is no way out. I want to just read you something quickly. Steve Backlund, don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's one of the guys at Bethel. Let's just laugh at that. It's actually a fantastic resource exposing the lies of the enemy. So let me give you an example. Let's just laugh at this lie. there are no solutions to this situation. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Laughable assumptions behind this lie. You'll start laughing because they sound ridiculous when they come out. This situation is so bad that even prayer is pointless. The devil has won a complete victory, therefore resistance is futile. God cannot work this situation for good in the lives impacted by it. These are lies, by the way. God does not have any wisdom for what should be done. That is funny. Do you really believe that God does not have any wisdom for your situation? That He can't make a way out for you? I mean, we believe those things, eh? And we feel depressed and down, and we get in a downward spiral. But obviously, God has a way out. Breakthrough is always difficult and will take a long time. No ways. No ways. God is angry and does not want to help those involved. Crazy stuff. Obviously, He will make a way out, as we've just read. Whenever we are tempted, whenever we're in a difficult situation, He will provide a way out for us. So there is always a solution. We seek Him, firstly. He is always good. We remember that. God is always good. Lord, please give me your perspective on this situation. And of course, He's going to speak to you. Of course, He's going to show you the way out. He always knows what to do, no matter how deep you are in. And I love that analogy of a GPS. You know, when you go off course, anybody use a GPS here? You go off course, and you miss the turnoff. What does the GPS say? Recalculating. Recalculating. That's what Holy Spirit does. If recalculating. I've got an English one. So when we go off track, Holy Spirit says, recalculating, son, daughter. I'll take you back. I'll get you. There's another way to get back there. There's always a solution. Amen. That's number one. Number two, I will always know what to do. James chapter 1, verse 5. Can you say that? Can we say that together? I will always know what to do. Okay? I will always know what to do. Now, you may not believe that yet, but I hope you will after we've spoken a bit. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Amen. Now, the next two verses say, but he who doubts should not think that he will receive anything. Can I just say something quickly about faith, unbelief, and doubt? Unbelief for me is quite simple. I will not believe. I do not believe that God still heals today. Okay? Are you happy with that? So, the person who thinks like that will probably not see healing. Okay? If you don't believe, you won't see it. And even if you do see it, you're not going to believe it. Because you're going to go, that's not real. He put it on, blah, 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 blah. This looks a fake, whatever, whatever. So, unbelief is quite simple. Doubt is a little bit more complicated. Because I believe doubt and faith can coexist. I think you guys do believe that too. Doubt is that thing that sits in the back of the mind. I'm not too sure. You know, I've got faith for this thing, but I'm not quite sure. What if it doesn't happen? What if money doesn't come through by the end of the month? What if I pray for this person and they're not healed? So that's doubt. It sits in the back there. Doesn't mean you don't have faith. Okay. And there are ways to squash the doubt and build up your faith. Although I do believe this. I do believe that we are given the measure of faith. I know you guys have, anyway. So, let's talk about faith. Romans 12 verse 3, King James Version says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we know God has given us His faith. I know my little six-year-old has got the same Holy Spirit as me. Not big Holy Spirit, little Holy Spirit. God gave Steve 50 kilograms of faith, and He gave James 25. It was like, He gave the measure of faith to every man. Amen. I do believe we can build up our faith, though. And I believe dispelling doubt is like weeding your garden. The best way, they say, I'm not a horticulturist or anything, but they say the best way, do you know what that is, Steve? I'm just teasing. Warts, yeah. The best way to get rid of weeds is to strengthen your grass. Is that true? I've heard that. The best way to get rid of doubt is to strengthen your faith. But you, most beloved people, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. And pray in tongues, etc., etc. So there are ways to build up our faith and to keep ourselves in the love of God. Why are you saying this? What's that got to do with, I will always know what to do? It's got a lot to do with, I will always know what to do because I'm full of faith. My faith is strong. I have the mind of Christ. And I have Holy Spirit in me. And so, I just feel right now, God wants you, some of you, to start trusting what you're hearing. You see, the man who doubts is unstable in all his ways. Well, I should maybe know about it. I've changed my mind and I'm going this way and that. No, no. You have Holy Spirit in you. And if you ask for wisdom, He will give you wisdom. He's with you. He walks with you. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Don't fall behind. Don't be afraid when He says sometimes, son, daughter, it's time to move. And don't rush ahead on your own steam. Wait for Him. Amen. He will guide us. So you will always know what to do. And He will always provide a solution. There's a solution for any situation you will ever face. Amen. Number three. Thanks, James. It's good to be here. Number three, these are getting powerful. You've got to believe these things. Just because you make a declaration, and what I do is I make these declarations. I've begun declaring these things out over my life. So when I'm tempted, I will make a declaration. I will say, I thank you, Father, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a declaration. It's a declaration and a statement of truth. Just because I say it, you can say over a person, be healed in Jesus' name. Right, that's a powerful declaration. But if you don't believe it, or they don't believe it, nothing's going to happen. So a declaration is not just because you're saying something. There's faith mixed with it. There is a faith, and then there's, I'm acting on that faith. I'm declaring it, and I'm proclaiming the word of God. Amen. the next one is, the reason I'm saying this, because you may not believe this one. I will succeed at everything I do. Wow, thank you. Some people are believing that. You need to latch onto these things. Why will you succeed? Look at what the scripture says. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You see, you have favor and blessing on your life. Every curse is broken. There are still Bible-believing Christians today who think they are under a curse still. I know you guys in this place know that the curse is broken. I know that because I know Steve and I know what he would have taught you. But there's no curse on your life. So let me say this. When you experience difficulty, it equals resistance. Not defeat. It equals resistance. You have an enemy who's trying to resist you. So that's why we need perseverance, eh? So we know what God has told us. We're children of promise. We know what His promises say. The promises say you're healthy. You're prosperous. You have great relationships. You're not full of nonsense anymore. Amen. I love the gospel because it calls us to maturity. God has called us to His own glory and excellence. There's no more space for nonsense. The devil has lost a big victory. Jesus has won a great victory, and it's ours. Amen. And as our minds are renewed to these truths, we begin to walk in them. And you start to see mountains like that go flat, flattened in front of you. Amen. Our Lord is all conquering. Where was I? I will succeed at everything I do. You have favor. There's no curse on you anymore. It was... So you persevere. The victory is His. It's ours. We're children of promise. There it is again. Just like Israel. And just remember, it's similar to the Old Testament in this way. God promised Israel their promised land. And He says, go and take that land. It's yours. I've given it to you. And it's the same for us today. They had to go in and conquer the giants. It's the same for us today. God says, I have given you health. I've given you prosperity. I've given you wholeness. The reason I mentioned relationships was because he's made us whole. So the word sozo, the word shalom, all those words, they don't just mean shalom, peace, is an incredible word. Look it up in Hebrew. Wow, it's amazing. It's wholeness. It's like a big, you know, 20, 30 words. Prosperity, health, success, this, that, this. That's the shalom of God. Peace to all men. Shalom to all men. Christ has come. Success to you. Health, prosperity, great relationships. You know what I'm saying. And what was the other word? Sozo as well. The wholeness of God. Those who touched Jesus' garment were made whole. They were cleansed and made whole. They were healed. It was every aspect of their lives. I keep losing my place, but I'm having fun. Are you guys okay? Great. So, we were talking about Israel. So these promises, you are children of promise, remember. So God has declared these promises over you, and you're saying, yes, Lord, amen, Lord. We want those promises, and we're going to walk in them. So you will succeed at everything you do. Don't be in a hurry. I know we're impatient. That's the only thing. That's why you need patience, by the way. Because we're an instantaneous sort of microwave generation. And if it doesn't happen immediately, we get discouraged and we think, ah, it's not working. No, no, the kingdom doesn't work like that. Let me give you a handle for this. Because this statement, it has helped me tremendously. Celebrate progress, not perfection. Now, let's take healing for example. We've got a guy in a wheelchair. We've been praying for him and praying for him. And I see him, he gets hopeful, and then he slumps into discouragement. And I've been sharing this with him, saying, celebrate progress, not perfection. Look, miracles are all of us. It's our favorite type of healing, isn't it? I mean, I want him to come out the wheelchair. But if it tarries, and I've seen progress. I've seen us pray for him and his hand loosened. He had a stroke and he's in a wheelchair, the one side's. I've seen progress. But instead of him learning to celebrate that little bit and allowing his faith to grow, and then his faith grows a bit and it grows and doubt less and less and less, I want to say to you, give yourself some space to grow. You know, the grace churches, and we are grace people and grace churches, it was kind of this thing, you didn't need to grow anymore because you have everything. I want to tell you, the believers I know need to some growing, some serious growing. It's not just a download, poof, and everything's finished. There's nothing else for you to do. You can sit on the beach the rest of your days, but you've got everything and you're complete in Christ and you're pure. And all that's true, but you're going to grow. And the scriptures for that are... I know it, but we're going to grow. We're going to increase in glory. We're going to grow from glory to glory. So we're not going from bad to a little bit better. We're going from glory to another level of glory to another ever increasing, and it's never going to stop. Amen. But give yourself some space to grow, for goodness sake. Don't be a perfectionist. Perfectionism is not helpful for you. Because you get discouraged when you're not there straight away. Amen. But I'm still keen on miracles, all right? I'm not saying we don't want to see miracles. And we are seeing an increase in miracles. But as the people start relaxing and just celebrating the little things that are changing and the turns of God in their life. Amen. You will succeed at everything you do. You have the genetics for that. You are not a loser anymore. You got a big daddy. Amen. So bless you guys, men. 2 Peter 1. No. I won't go there. Excuse me. Two more. Number 4. I will always have the resources I need to do what needs to get done. I found this one the most difficult myself to believe. I don't know. Finances right now is just a difficult thing. Anybody battling with finances? No, none of you. Hey, great. Pray for me, please. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You can talk about context and all that, but I want to tell you, God's provision for you is based on his love for you. It's as simple as that. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. I haven't worked out finances that well yet, but can we apply the principle of growth here? I want to tell you this, God's not withholding on you. He's not holding out on you. He's not going, until you a better steward, I'm not giving you more. That is not the truth. The truth is he supplies. I don't know how it works exactly. And the truth is this, if you take what he's given you, the opportunities he's given you, I'm not just talking money, and you do well with him, there's a principle of increase in your life. Coming into the grace of God does not negate the need for us to grow, to learn, and to become more excellent at what we do. Amen. I hope you agree with that. Maybe Steve will come and change everything afterwards, but I don't know. So God has called us to his own glory and excellence. He wants us to grow. He provides for us, and he will provide for everything you need. Seek him. Search for him. walk with him. He will make a way. He will make a way. Amen. For whatever he wants you to do. Excuse me. Last one quickly. Well, maybe not so quickly, but we'll see. My past will always be turned to good. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let this one give you lots of hope. Let me say something about hope quickly. Have I got 5 more minutes? Can I go? Hope. Steve Backlund says this, any area of your life that is not glistening with hope is under the influence of a lie, and it's a demonic stronghold. Any area, so think about your life, that you're not glistening with hope, abounding in joy, is under the influence of a lie. That's pretty powerful, eh? We dress our spiritual warfare at our minds, what we believe. God works all things together for good. So the situation you're facing, he's going to make a way. There's provision. There's all the things we've been talking about. But let me say this. Some silly people, some silly bums, are you allowed to say that in church? He turns all things for good. No experience is ever wasted. But that doesn't mean mistakes are the best way to learn. Some silly bums say, I am here, you know, because of my experiences and all the idiotic things I've done. No, silly, you're not there because of those things. You're there despite those things. The grace of God has got you there. That's not the way you learn. You don't have to go and fall into deep sin to learn life's lessons. Surely not. Sorry, maybe nobody in this church does it, but I've had a couple of people in my church with that kind of thinking. I've said to them, now come on, man. God works all things together for good. That's why I brought them here. Shh, don't. Yeah. If you guys are feeling anything, by the way, there'll be opportunity afterwards just to... You're not allowed to talk about the picture, though. Yeah, definitely. That's off limits. So my past will always be turned to good. God has great plans for you guys. He's got a wonderful future for you. Let me just start prophesying some things over you guys. This church is amazing. I thank you, Father, for this lighthouse, this pillar and foundation of truth. I thank you for these amazing people filled with love and joy. I thank you for the relationships here. I thank you for the freedom in the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's lots going on here, I can see. Yeah, should we have a bit of fun here? Oh, thank you, Lord. Wow. Just pour out. Thank you for liberty and grace. Beautiful people, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just the love of the Lord. Ah, thank you for these people, Father. I feel Holy Spirit is giving you tools today. He has given you tonight to unlock some of the situations, difficulties that you're facing, that He is leveling some of the mountains. I want to encourage you to speak to the mountains. Tell them to go in the sea. Heard that one before? Jesus, speak to the mountain. Off you go. He's the one who levels mountains. He brings them, makes them flat for us. Sometimes we make mountains out of molehills, but God flattens those things. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. For all those youngsters at the back, I release a blessing over you. I release the power of Holy Spirit right now. Release fire over you, fire to change your lives, fire to walk in the fullness of the finished work of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd love you guys to come down here just now. We want to lay hands on you, I think. Maybe all of you, I don't know. Thank you, Lord. What's the time? Okay. Yo, come. This is Francois.
Hello. Not the toy. I just, when Basil was speaking to you guys, I heard a huge group of Mustang horses. What do you call them? Stallions. This, you know. And I believe that the Lord is, wherever you guys go, if you go in a group together to do whatever you do, it's just the enemy just hears this, you know, coming towards me, you know. And then they go, ah, and they shh. Okay, so it's not very spiritual, but it, you know, the Lord is really blessing you guys. And if I had my word that I had that I had for the church was, the Lord says this. He says, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the God of Jacob." Now that in the New Covenant speaks about coming to His presence. He will show us the way that He works, so we can live the way that we were made. God will show us the way that He works, so that we will know the way that we were made. And that's in Isaiah 2. Then He prophesied that already.
Wonderful. Thank you, Father. So let's just pray for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I thank you for these powerful people, Lord. You are powerful people. I thank you for these city-changing, nation-influencing people filled with the love of Christ, with the power and authority. You are the authority of the victory of Christ on the earth today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And unreligious, just filled with love, filled with the love of the Lord. Powerful, Lord, powerful. We release signs and wonders over this church. We release miracles and healings. Thank you, Lord. We release glory to glory over you. Glory to glory.